Welcome to Dubs OT, your weekly Warriors podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring interviews with players, coaches, and media members.
Dubs OT is brought to you by TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Enviro Heating and Air, serving all brands of HVAC systems in Sonoma County and Marin County. And Kane's Tire in San Rafael, the lowest prices in Marin for over 60 years. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Woodson and Joe Castellano.
Coming up, we'll talk about the Warriors sweeping the Western Conference Finals, and they are headed to the finals for the fifth consecutive year. We'll have special guest Kareth Burke, sideline reporter for NBC Sports Bay Area. But first, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. At TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, not only do you get to play where the pros play, but you also get to play where Warriors play, like Klay Thompson, who hosted a tournament at TPC Harding Park over the summer.
Thompson Family Foundation Golf Tournament, that was so much fun. Shout out to TPC Harding Park for hosting us. I played great too, so that always helps. Just a fun day on the course for a great cause.
Ray, the Warriors are headed to the NBA Finals for the fifth consecutive year. I just can't even believe I'm saying that, you know, after all those lean years of Warriors basketball. But I guess I can because, you know, this team was the favorite. They've definitely had their trials and tribulations this year. But the Portland series, while they sweep it, and you think maybe that was easy, it really wasn't. There were a lot of comebacks. There were three comebacks of, what, 17-plus points. That's pretty remarkable to do that. And then to win in an overtime in game four, it just, you know, kind of made me think of the 2005 World Series where it's close every game, yet one team sweeps. That was when the White Sox beat the Astros.
Yep.
And that was sort of the case this time.
Well, it reminded me of the series between the Warriors and Trailblazers a couple of years ago. The Warriors won in five. And I felt like that was as close of a five-game series as you could get. I mean, the Blazers gave them a run most every game. In this case, yeah, it was as close as a sweep can get because they had to mount tremendous rallies in almost every game to get it done. And, you know, I think even in the one where they were, you know, winning by 20 points, they were only up by six midway in the fourth quarter. So, the Blazers had a good season. They get to the Western Finals. They've taken some steps forward. But even without Kevin Durant, even without DeMarcus Cousins, even without Andre Iguodala in the last game, the Warriors are a better team because, well, they've got guys who've won rings. They're still on the floor. They've got Steph. They've got Klay. They've got Draymond. And they've got Kevon Looney, who's become, as Steve Kerr said, a foundational piece. And they got some contributions from guys like Alphonso McKinney, who had, a real nice game last night. And, you know, he's eventually going to make himself some money. The Warriors, given the luxury tax situation, they'll pick him up next year on his contract. But down the road, when he's a restricted free agent, games like last night are definitely going to help him. What a moment for him. You know, the guy was playing on a bad team in Luxembourg a few years ago. So many great stories here, and again, doing it without Iguodala, you know, it wasn't strength in numbers, but it was strength in what they had left. And to me, it starts and ends with Draymond Green.
It does, and Steph Curry. And look, when that game was going on and I'm seeing the numbers both of them are putting up, I'm thinking to myself, man, I don't think I've ever seen two players have a triple-double in the same game at any time. I mean, any regular season game. And I thought, you know, let alone the playoffs. And sure enough, it was the first time ever in a playoff game that two teammates had a triple-double. I mean, just shows that those two guys, when they were needed the most, because you had the injuries you already detailed, they came through in the clutch. It was just, you know, really remarkable, and especially to see Draymond nail that three when they really needed it in overtime to give him the four-point lead because, you know, normally he's not the best three-point shooter they have, but he drilled it, and that just goes to show how clutch he is.
Well, yes, he's made big shots like that. You know, that's not his main calling card, but it's you know, as you mentioned, you know, he's like the fourth option in this team, but when the clock's winding down, he knows he needs to take that shot. He also made a big corner three earlier. So, you know, it's nice to have that at your disposal on top of everything else that he brings to the table. My goodness, what a defensive series for Draymond. And then controlling the pace, getting the rebounds and the block shots, and pushing the ball down the floor to start the offense early. That was so important. And, you know, as far as Steph Curry is concerned, you know, we can put to bed forever this stupid discussion about him not producing the playoffs. I don't know where the hell that came from. He had a, you know, he had a couple of rough games against Houston. There's no doubt about it. You know, he was not where he needed to be, not up to his standard. But you could tell from the first quarter of game one that he was going to have a lot more room to move in this series than he did against Houston. And he scored in the 30s every game, and he looked like the MVP that he was for a couple of years. You know, these guys stepped up with Kevin Durant out. It's a different looking team when Kevin Durant is in there, still very effective. That's another stupid discussion that needs to be put to bed about, oh, they don't need Kevin Durant or they didn't need Andre Iguodala. For one game, they can get it done. For a series, for a season, get out of here with that. You know, that's just trying to create fill content, you know, fill airtime. It's a pointless discussion.
Yeah, I mean, they play different when they have different players in the lineup. Let's face that. But when they need to count on Steph, Clay, Draymond, those guys showed everybody what they can do. But they don't have that incentive, Ray. There's no motivation that, hey, we're going to do this because we don't have Durant. No, I mean, I just think they say these are the cards we have now for this game. You know, let's go out and do it. And then if they have Durant, you know, it's great. I think they look at it differently than all the other folks out there that are creating a lot of the chatter.
No, they look at it like, well, you know, we got guys who can step up, you know, and we've got confidence in them. But, you know, again, we've got guys who are all-stars who have won rings that are still on the floor, and we can attack this differently than we do with KD, but we can still get it done, and they showed they could. And, you know, for Draymond, it was about handling the ball more without Kevin Durant in there and initiating the offense, and it flowed pretty well. It was the 2015 Warriors who carried them through this. After KD got hurt in the Houston series, that's pretty much what it was. Even Andrew Bogut in there for some good minutes last night. But for Draymond, I think, you know, a couple of things. First of all, he's mentioned it, he cooled it with the referees. And, you know, maybe that's a causation, maybe it's just correlation, but he played some of his best basketball of his career. Doris Burke mentioned that on ESPN last night. I think she was right. But also, he's in much better shape. He lost some weight. He changed his diet, and he's got more energy than everybody else on the floor. I mean, game three? I thought, well, this guy's keeping him in the game in the first half when it looked like Portland was going to run away with it. And then, you know, he led the charge in the second half. The guy is playing the best basketball of his career, without a doubt, both ends of the floor, and also KD being out, as I mentioned. So it's a combination of things that allowed him to come up and be such a prominent factor in this series, along with Steph Curry has to take more charge offensively as well and take more of the shots than maybe KD has. But, I mean, you don't want maybe the best player in the world on your team for the finals? Of course you do. I can't wait for him to get back. Hopefully he'll be ready for game one. The 9 days off, I know there was high motivation for them to get it done Monday night, even though they cost Joe Lacob a lot of money along the way.
Let's hear what Steve Kerr, Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and Klay Thompson had to say after the Warriors finished off the Portland Trailblazers in Portland and swept the Western Conference Finals Series as they are headed to the finals for the fifth consecutive year. Here's what they said.
Our guys have been at this for a while, so they know how to win. They know how to come back from deficits. And when you get this deep in the playoffs, you're playing against the best teams in the league. And, you know, this backcourt that you're dealing with McCollum and Lillard, it's a nightmare trying to stay in front of them. And you have to commit help. You have to have a five-man defensive effort. And that leaves you vulnerable in areas. I thought tonight they did their best job of exposing those vulnerabilities. You know, Myers Leonard was fantastic, and they did a really good job of moving the ball. They had 31 assists, and our defense was shaky tonight, but we turned it up in the fourth quarter and in overtime and got it done. But it was an uphill climb the whole way.
I mean, obviously the situation called for more aggressiveness. The way KD was playing up until, you know, the time he got hurt, you know, we had a certain balance and a certain look as a team, And I think every guy took the challenge, you know, when he went out to step up and play a little bit more aggressive. Myself, you know, Draymond, what he did in the series is unbelievable. You know, Clay on both ends of the floor. And then the collection of bench guys and role guys that really helped us in the series. Everybody knew what the challenge was, and every game we hit the reset button and knew it was going to be another dogfight. No matter what the score was, how many points we got down, play 48 minutes. And I think we just played with confidence. We've been here before, and we've been through a lot of different experiences, and you know, championship mentality showed down the stretch tonight, and just find a way to get it done in advance.
We know we can cover 17 points in a matter of 3-4 minutes. And so we always try to keep that mindset that we're never out of the game and we just need to make solid plays. It definitely helps to have number 30 who, you know, they go up 17 and he hits a three. You know, it just kind of puts them back on their heels and it shifts the momentum for us. So, you know, we just really understand what we're capable of on both sides of the basketball. And, you know, we're never out of the fight. And that's just always our mindset.
Our bench has been incredible. I mean, Kevon Looney, double-double, 12 and 14, huge rebounds. Quinn Cook coming in, making a difference. Sean Livingston played great. Bogut, everybody, everyone who came in tonight made a huge impact. So I'm proud of the way everyone played. And our bench really showed out this series. You know, they showed that they're professionals and they can impact the game in many ways. So I'm really proud of those guys.
More Dubs OT in just a moment. Dubs OT is brought to you in part by Enviro Heating and Air, licensed, experienced, and affordable HVAC contractors near you. Enviro's experienced team services all brands of HVAC systems in Petaluma, Santa Rosa, Sonoma County, and Marin County. Your air conditioning system is a vital part of keeping your home a comfortable, happy, healthy place to be. A new or existing system is an important investment and will play a key role in your home energy expenses for years to come. Commercial and industrial customers also recognize Enviro's standards for excellence, which includes prompt and professional service. Enviro is known for its integrity and quality HVAC products and services. For your free HVAC air conditioning and heater estimate, call Enviro today at 707-781-8383. That's 707-781-8383 for Enviro Heating and Air. Draymond is playing out of his mind. I mean, you're right, and so is Doris. I mean, it's just he's playing the best basketball, and I think it is a little bit of a contributing factor that he's not getting distracted by worrying about what the officials are calling. I mean, I don't know. I think he's got peace of mind now about not having to worry about that. And, you know, from watching Ray, I was sitting high up behind the basket, and you could see on defense, you could really see that free safety mentality that people talk about.
Yeah.
The way he just reads plays. And then you see the way he reads it on offense, and he's running down the floor and making decisions like Magic Johnson. I mean, people, I think that comparison's been made a little bit because he sort of looks like him the way he played in that series.
Well, yeah, and, you know, not an altogether dissimilar physique. You know, Magic may be a little better outside shooter later on in his career and a little better playmaker and ball handler, but Draymond gets it done, and he's a good decision maker. And, again, getting that offense started early and pushing the pace and getting the defense tired and out of position, that's a big part of the emphasis for him in the last several games. And it's worked beautifully. And then you look at the work he does on the defensive end. I mean, he's controlling the game. He really is. And, you know, in also opening things up for Steph and Clay. And I think the other way that it reminded me of Magic is, if you followed Showtime in the 80s at all, and I covered them a little bit at the start of Showtime for the first 2 or 3 years, before I went to Salt Lake City and saw them coming into town, but the Lakers and Magic were so good after a made basket. And Magic was probably the best long passer the game has ever seen. He'd be right on target with 80-foot baseball passes. And so somebody would make a bucket, and he'd find Worthy behind the defense at the other end. Well, Draymond Green was doing some of that in this series. They caught Portland napping numerous times after a made basket, which looked like a big basket, time to celebrate for a second. Uh-uh. No, Draymond's going to get right back at you. And that can be deflating as well. So, yeah, I just can't say enough about how well Draymond played in the series. And I just want to mention
as an aside, because we haven't talked much about Clay, there are two or three defensive sequences last night, I don't know if people noticed, where Clay was switching out on people and did such a tremendous job. And I know he had to expend a lot more energy at the defensive end of the series, especially with Iguodala out in the last game. And that'll take a little bit of a spring out of your wound at the offensive end. And, you know, he didn't shoot as well as he's capable of. He did all right. But, you know, we've seen Clay go nuclear, and he had a couple of big games against Houston, as we know. But, you know, he's expending a lot of energy out there as well, as much as anybody, you know, outside of Draymond. So that'll have an effect on your jump shot, especially late in games. But he hit a big one. He had a big one to tie it at 111 with a little over a minute to go. And, you know, that was when it looked like it was falling by the wayside for the Warriors. You know, there were a couple of tipping points last night where it looked like it was going to go the Blazers' way. They were up by 17. Myers Leonard having the game of his life.
Oh, yeah, Myers Leonard, yeah.
I mean, you know, and by the way, Myers Lemons make delightful lemon bars. Myers Leonard, that has made some pretty good basketball last night. But, you know, we haven't seen that that much out of him. He's a guy that they still feel has that potential. You know, he can shoot the three, but he's been candidate his career. But he seemed to break out of that shell in the last couple of games. So good for him. I mean, they're going to need 40 for Myers Leonard. He slowed down a little bit. He had 25 in the first half. He had his career high in the first half. He was incredible. But, you know, they were up by 17 after Leonard bucket. The thing I noticed, you know, he was waving for the crowd to get fired up, and I'm thinking, okay, you're celebrating now. You do know that it's the third quarter and you're up by 17 against the Warriors, and you've blown 17 points in twice. But that was the point where the game could have gone either way. The Warriors went on a 9-0 run to end that quarter, and you knew they'd be engaged mentally in the fourth quarter after that.
I don't think Myers Leonard expected that 20,000 people would be standing and chanting his name. I mean, that really was quite a scene, but you're right. I mean, you can't rest on any laurels at all. That's the lesson learned with the Warriors. You can't rest on anything. And, of course, the Warriors couldn't rest on anything when they blew that 31-point lead against the Clippers. I guess there have been a lot of lessons learned for head coaches, really, you know, throughout the playoffs. And you know, you just can't – you cannot look at the Warriors and say that you're ever comfortable with any lead.
You mentioned that 31-point lead. Well, this is the NBA, right? It's the NBA these days. That can happen, I guess. Well, it did happen. Boy, was I mad when that happened. I mean, it was such a waste there for a while, and it looked bad going into the Houston series. Let's face it, it was setting up well for Houston. But the Warriors got it together, and you know, that's what champions do. They focus when it's absolutely necessary. They drive you crazy sometimes with the moments of disinterest, and they had a couple of bad first halves against Portland, but you know, again, they know they can come back. They know, I think Jordan Bell mentioned it, Draymond said, hey, you know, we could wipe out a 17-point lead in 4 minutes, and they just about did that in a couple of these games, but that, you know, on the flip side, that's a lesson that I guess they had to relearn about not taking your opponent for granted. I don't think they respected the Clippers at that point, and why would you in some ways when you're just blowing them out of the building, and it looks like you're just going to sweep them out of the series, and they probably should have. But, you know, that led to some expended energy. That led to a game six where both Clay and Steph tweaked their ankles. But they got through the Houston series, and the key moment, I'm going to say, for this whole postseason, if the Warriors take it home again, was when KD got hurt and everybody refocused. You just absolutely had to. And they haven't lost since then. And, you know, that's credit a little bit to strength in numbers, the bench guys making a better contribution. But then it's your all-stars being your all-stars. And so they are back in their fifth consecutive finals. And you know, having seen this team and covered this team and in some cases interacting with these guys since the upstart days, you know, when Andre Iguodala came to town, when they traded for Bogut, it's been an incredible ride, not only for the last 5 years, but for the last 7 years to see the arc of this team. And for all the criticism they get about, oh, they needed to get KD to win a title, and now they're saying they don't need KD, so people want to have it both ways. But this is basically a homegrown team. You know, they traded for Iguodala, or they traded for Bogut, they signed Iguodala, but everything else that's key about this team is homegrown. It's drafted. It's Steph Curry. It's Klay Thompson. It's Draymond Green. Now, those are the guys. And then bringing in Sean Livingston as maybe the best seventh man
the NBA has seen in the last decade. You know, all those pieces fit together, but it started with that homegrown trio.
When Dubs OT continues, we'll hear from Kareth Burke, sideline reporter for NBC Sports Bay Area.
When it's time for new tires, you want the lowest prices and the best service, don't you? Well, Kane's Tire in San Rafael has you covered on both. Kane's has the lowest prices in Marin County, and they provide the warm and welcoming service that you can only receive from a family-run business. And this is a dependable family business that's been around for 61 years. Voted best of Marin for 35 years in a row, Kane's prices beat Costco's prices every time. Kane's Tire, 1531 4th Street in San Rafael. Give him a call at 415-453-2942. That's 415-453-2942 for Kane's Tire.
Well, Kara, thanks so much for taking a few minutes here to join Dubs OT. And you do such a great job there on NBC Sports Bay Area. And first of all, it just must be a blast. I mean, to be with a team, covering this team that has been spectacular, you know, getting to the finals now, fifth straight year for the Warriors, and so much expected. But you must really be enjoying it. What kind of a ride has it been for you?
Oh, it's been madness. And this is only my second year with the team. So to see a championship last year, to see the potential for a championship this year is really incredible. I mean, this is a team I will tell my children about. You know what I mean? And it's hard to understand the history and the potential for a dynasty when you're in the moment. It's like you kind of need hindsight to appreciate it. But I really want to try to enjoy these moments and being around the team and recognize where this could be in NBA history.
I think the word trust kept coming up a lot during the series against Portland. And that, what I mean by that is without Kevin Durant and then eventually without Andre Iguodala, Steve Kerr had to trust certain players coming off the bench that he wasn't using earlier in the playoffs. And even some of the players mentioned, you know, the trust factor that, you know, you pass it to Draymond Green and you trust that he's going to make that three, even though he's not the best three-point shooter in the league. What have you noticed about that with this team covering it for a couple of years and just the level of chemistry that they have together?
Yes, it shows their cohesion. It shows that they rely on each other. You know, because take Jordan Bell, for example. He had a whole lot of DMPs this season, and then suddenly he's starting in the Western Conference Finals. That means he has to do the work. He has to keep his head up every day, and I know he was frustrated. But then he got 14 minutes, and he was an important part of the win. You have to play defense, too. There's, like, some very simple things where you need trust. If only one or two guys are flying around and giving it their all, then this whole thing collapses. Last night's win, and I don't want to date this too much, but let's just say the Western Conference Finals, it was both sides of the ball. It was having your teammates back. It was the role players finally understanding what the coaches have been talking about when it comes to be ready and then having those types of performances. And also, Joe, the trust also reminds me of the core players knowing what they have to do and going back to their relationship and their foundation. It's Steph, it's Draymond, it's Clay. It's those three being in control of the series and then also kind of letting go to bring in the other guys and make this a whole big team effort.
How do you look at this now going forward into the NBA Finals against whether it be Toronto or Milwaukee and, you know, whether or not you have Kevin Durant and the chatter that exists outside of that locker room? Because the chatter is, oh, well, these guys are out to prove that they don't need Kevin Durant. What's the reality of the way, you know, Steph, Clay, Draymond, you think, feel about that and how it all plays into, you know, whether or not he plays? Because if he plays, it's a different type of style that they have when Durant's in there.
I don't think it's about proving anything to anyone. It's about the singular mission this season to three-peat. That's what they said at training camp. That's what they've said at practice. This entire season through the ups and downs, it's about capitalizing on this roster and this moment in time because championships are fleeting. This kind of success is fleeting. That's why it's so momentous to look at five consecutive championships. There is a degree to which the Warriors make this look easy, but every season they remind people this is incredibly difficult, and maybe next year it's not like this. Maybe next year the roster looks, you know, very different. So it's about this moment and that singular goal. And I know they hear the chatter. I mean, the guys aren't dumb. The guys aren't, you know, they're not deaf. But it really is this moment in time and capitalizing on this goal that they've had to make history.
Well, we do know that Kevin Durant can be sensitive. We do know that he'll get out there and tweet every once in a while when he does see something that he doesn't like. And, you know, there is so much talk about where he's going to land next year, whether it be with the Warriors or another team. What have you noticed about his personality and being around him? You know, at times he has had a little bit of a contentious time with the media, just in some of those press conferences. I mean, deep down, he seems like, yeah, there's the sensitive part, and he seems like just a great guy. So, you know, what have you noticed just about his personality?
He's very philosophical. He studies this game like none other. Like, he'll do the film study for the Warriors, but then on his own time, he's watching YouTube clips of other guys. I mean, he focuses on what the tendencies are, and then he also turns that lens to himself. He's very difficult on himself. He wants to be the absolute best. And maybe to that degree, he's like maddened by it a little bit, but he is the best or one of the best. And when Kevin Durant, like, to me, when he looks at what people are saying about him, that is a very human thing to do, because we all want to be respected and we all want to be liked. And I understand the argument is, well, you're a pro athlete. You're supposed to ignore all this stuff. Everything Kevin Durant does is very human, and I don't want to knock him for that.
All right, to finish up, I wanted to ask you about just what you notice about Steph Curry, because there's a guy who, he never ceases to amaze people with what he does on the court, but off the court as well. I think just handling all these situations, he always seems to be the calming influence. And, you know, he even had his brother involved in a series where, you know, that could really kind of be taxing on you to know that, hey, you know, your brother stole some basketballs from you in that one game, I think it was four. And, you know, and you want your brother to do well, but he's on the team you're competing against. And so you have that, and you've got the whole Durant thing, and yet he still shines throughout all of it.
He does, and I think there was like a joke that Clay made, you know, this question of, is Steph the ultimate humble superstar? And Clay scoffed at that. He's like, humble? You can't do what Steph is doing and be humble. He knows how good he is. He likes to play with flash. Sometimes I look at Steph and I don't understand how he balances everything in his life, his devotion to the game, his devotion to family, the charity things that he does. He's just like, I don't want to get too exaggerated, but he's like a superman. I really don't know. And he elevates his game so much in the playoffs. And I remember a lot of people doubting him when he struggled against the Clippers, when he struggled against the Rockets, and there are going to be ebbs and flows to the game. But ultimately, he is Steph Curry, and he came up with tremendous performances when he needed to.
Kara, thanks so much for your time. Enjoy your work, like I said before, and for sure have a great time covering the finals.
Yeah, thanks, Joe.
Dubs OT continues in just a moment. Dubs OT is brought to you in part by Enviro Heating and Air, licensed, experienced, and affordable HVAC contractors near you. Enviro's experienced team services all brands of HVAC systems in Petaluma, Santa Rosa, Sonoma County, and Marin County. Enviro's goal is to provide each family and business with the most energy-efficient heating and air conditioning system to fit their needs. Enviro is happy to provide a free estimate for your new energy-efficient HVAC system. Contact Enviro Heating and Air today to get an estimate and lower your monthly heating and air conditioning energy costs. Call 707-781-8383. That's 707-781-8383 for Enviro Heating and Air. All right, it was great to hear from Kareth Burke there talking about, you know, her perspective on being around the Warriors. And I take away from that, Ray, that Steph Curry, what she was saying about him having so much on his plate and still handling it, that, you know, he's so special, not just on the court, but off it. And I think that there was some stress there playing against his brother. I mean, he kind of played it off, but I mean, I think that was emotional for everybody in the whole family. And at times, I think that had to be kind of difficult. And, you know, he did make a joke about his brother, Seth, being a tattletale when he traveled there, because I guess Seth may have, you know, jumped up and said, hey, that was traveling. And by the way, I thought Steph should have taken a two-pointer there instead of worrying about getting to the three-point line. But that's neither here nor there. It's more about I it's amazing to me how he handles everything, media, being the leader of the team, you know, all kinds of noise that goes on. And he just, he never really is somebody that worries about anything. He's just unflappable.
Yeah, he's the whole package. I mean, he's a guy that came in the league with some talent, made himself better, and has taken that talent and dedication to another level. And he's putting up historic numbers in this postseason and continuing to be the leader. And, you know, I've said it before, I'll say it again. As much as you want KD around, and I hope that if KD really wants to continue winning rings, this is the place for him. And I hope he stays. But this has been, is, and will be Steph's team. And Draymond's team. That's just the bottom line. It doesn't mean you don't love KD coming in or any of these other guys. But, you know, he was here at the beginning. As the song says, started at the bottom, now we're here. When he got drafted in 09, there were a couple of painful years. And we have often seen it on Twitter, the retweet of a Steph tweet from, I forget which year it was, might have been 2011, where he's basically saying, you know, we're going to fix this. Because, you know, they had some awful years. And you know, to see the arc of his career is really something special. And he's going down as one of the most beloved sports figures in Bay Area history. A couple of things about that dynamic with Seth. You know, a little bit of this is, you know, those two going at it in the backyard, in the driveway when they were kids, I'm sure. But I'm sure at this level, with these kinds of stakes, it had to be agonizing for everybody involved. And on that point where he traveled, oh, by the way, Myers Leonard fouled him before, you know, he had to chase the ball.
Oh, yeah, that's under the basket. Yeah, he definitely did. Yeah.
James Harden gets that call, jerking his head back and flailing his arms like a bad silent movie actor. But Steph Curry doesn't try to sell the call that way. He's just trying to get the bucket in that situation. But Leonard slapped him on the hand and on the wrist. But, yeah, he didn't need to go for the two there. He didn't need to check his feet. But that's instinct, right? I mean, in those situations, that's what he thinks about doing regardless. And I don't think it would have made a difference on his percentage of making the shot. He can make the corner three as well as the deep corner two. But it was just a matter of taking those extra steps that he didn't need to take. That's something that we may see again, by the way, depending on whether Steph stays in Portland. Seems like he's found a nice spot there. Or go somewhere else, you could see those two squaring off in the playoffs again. And I got to say, Steph, you know, acquitted himself nicely in certain moments. You know, I think it was game two. He had a tremendous game, probably the best of his career. And you really got to respect his journey. We've talked about it before in the podcast. I remember talking to people about him at the 2014 Vegas Summer League, where he was the best player. He was named the best player in that tournament. And, you know, coming out of Duke, he looked a little slow, didn't look in the best of shape. He went to work, and he went to work in terms of fitness, in terms of working on his handles, his outside shot, and now to the point where he's a regular rotational player on a playoff team in the NBA. And doing it in Steph's shadow, that can't be easy, so you've got to respect that.
Yeah, I really enjoyed watching that matchup and got a lot of respect for his game now. All right, let's talk about the NBA Finals. And it's going to be either Milwaukee or Toronto. As we sit here now, we don't know. And we know that the Bucks have the 2-1 lead. And I think either way, this is going to be the biggest challenge. I know the Rockets, that looked like at the time, you know, maybe that is the biggest challenge. But I don't know. The two teams that are ahead of the Warriors in the standings as far as overall record are the Bucks and the Raptors. And either team is going to be very difficult. You look at the star power of a Giannis you look at Toronto, which I think it's more than Kawhi. That's a pretty deep team if they can somehow get by the Bucks. So I look at this, like the Warriors do need as many guns as they can have. And I think Iguodala will no doubt be back. I'm just not sure about Durant, you know, first game, second game. This calf seems to be, you know, semi-serious, and I don't know. I mean, you know he's going to try his best to be out there for the first game, but I think the Warriors do need him in this case. They maybe didn't need him as much in the last series, but I do think they need him here.
Well, they wouldn't have needed him against Portland unless they got in trouble, and that wasn't going to happen. So there was no sense in pushing it. When he had this calf injury last year, he was out 3 weeks and 7 games. So we're going to be about hitting that at the start of the finals. And, you know, maybe they thought it wasn't quite as bad at first, and
as they went along, they saw that it was something that there was no sense in pushing. You just want him ready for the finals. I think he will be. I think I'm hearing points to that. And if he's not, I mean, they'll just have to adjust as they always have. I mean, both those teams are going to be challenges, and I do think they need KD for the entirety of the series, even if he misses a game. And I think Cousins, is going to be a challenge if, you know, he can get his basketball legs under him, but that's going to be an issue as well. I mean, it's been so sporadic for him this year. I'm not really sure how much Cousins can contribute, but it'd be nice to have him around, you know, just for a little depth, just for minutes, you know, at the center position. You know, the big question against the Bucks, who's going to guard Giannis, and they have multiple guys to do that. Against the Raptors, you know, Gasol and Kawhi Leonard, and Leonard is such an outstanding player. You figure he'd see Draymond, you figure he'd see KD, and maybe Klay in some instances. Again, multiple defenders. But I think they do need all those guys. But tell you the truth, if they have all those guys and they're playing decently, I don't see either Milwaukee or Toronto as being as much of a challenge as the Rockets were to the Warriors in the second round. I think now they've got guys playing at such a high level, and then you sprinkle in a little KD and bring back Andre Iguodala. I would favor him in six games against either of those teams.
Yeah, I'm going to favor him too. I just, if they fall behind the way they did against the Blazers, I think it might be a little more difficult to come back. So that could be where maybe you get tagged with a couple of losses. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to get in that habit. That's for sure. Against those guys, that's problematic. And I think especially, you know, against Toronto with a guy like Kawhi, and they can lock you down defensively. But you know, if they're fully focused, operating on most cylinders, I could see them winning in six, maybe five.
It's going to be a great finals. Can't wait to talk about it on the Dubs OT podcast, so be sure to listen to us for that. Ray, enjoy this time off before it gets started, and then we'll ratchet it back up and start talking about the finals when they're underway.
What are we going to do for 9 days?
Watch hockey.
This is longer than what's that? Watch hockey?
Yeah, and baseball.
well, the Sharks, they're about to drop the puck. They better not let us down. Good Lord, that game five was horrendous.
And the Giants aren't exactly thrilling right now, but we'll see.
Yeah. Well, I was actually in Arizona for the Sunday game, but they won 3-2 on Sandoval's home run. That was one of the best games of the year. So I'm picking my spots. But, they're still in last place and struggling offensively. So, I mean, this may be it. Just got to wait for the Warriors. And in the meantime, go back and replay the last few playoff games, and they'll keep you warm until they come back.
Thanks for listening to the Dubs OT Warriors podcast. Join Joe Castellano and Ray Woodson again next week on thesportsvirus.com.